Good morning. Welcome back to There's Hope. This is Angie, and I'm so glad you're back with me today. Oh, let's just take a deep breath. Let's take a deep breath and remember where our breath came from. It comes from the Creator of all things. When we read the Word of God, we see God in so many different capacities. He's the Lord, the Master, the Savior. He's our Shepherd. He's so many things. But the very first way He presents Himself to us is as the Creator. The Creator. Creator. Ah, my friends, the Creator Himself breathed the breath of life into us in the womb and made us a spirit. And a spirit in the midst of our little tiny flesh human body that was growing, changing, developing in the womb. But the first part was the Spirit, His breath in us that made us a living being that was more than just a body, but a spirit. And He desires to live in our personal spirit and rule and reign in our personal spirit as many things, but first is the Creator. And so it's really important that we stop saying, I'm not creative, or there's not a creative bone in my body. My friends, this is a misstatement, because the Creator Himself breathed His very life into you. So let's just spend some moments with our Creator this morning, meditating on His words, not mine, not yours, but these ancient words from Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. Formless and empty. And just darkness over the surface of the deep. Yet the Spirit of God began to hover over the water. Yes, the Spirit of God began to hover over the water. And God said, let there be light. Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that this light was good. Good, 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 good. And He separated the light from the darkness. Let's just pause right here and let me pray for you that today, in this moment, that God Himself would come to you where you are, where you're listening right now, and He would separate the darkness from the light in your life, and that you would have His eyes to see what is light, what is His light, what He is a part of and involved in, and what is darkness. And let there be a separation of light and darkness in your life. God called the light day, and he called the darkness night. And there was evening, and there was morning, and that was the first day. My friends, one of the first lessons of life to learn is that there is a night, and there is a day. There are times of darkness and times of light. And whether it's night or whether it's day, whether everything is crystal clear and bright, easy to see, to understand, full of sunshine, or whether it's dark, quiet, and we can't see our hand in front of our face, no matter which we're in, night or day, it's okay because he created them both. He created the night and the day, and they both belong to him. And he uses both seasons in our life. And just bringing it down to a common sense, practical level. You know, friends, go to bed when it's nighttime and sleep. Sleep and rest. And when it's day, rise up and live and enjoy the day. And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. Some people think of this vault as like an upside down bowl that covered the earth, and it separated the waters of the heavens, the rains, from the waters on the earth. And so God made this separation between the waters above and the waters on the earth, and he called the vault the sky. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. How the beauty of the sky. This week I've been driving in a beautiful convertible from off the lot and just popping that top open and enjoying the beauty of the sky. And I thought so fondly of my father, of Joe, because all the years that I've been in, he's been in my life, that I've been his daughter and been driving, from time to time he would find a way to make sure that I had a convertible, just a gift, just for fun, not because I needed one, but just because he knew that it made me happy to be in the wind and to have the sky and the sun on my face. And so I was driving a convertible off the lot this week and just looking at the clouds and the beauty of them. You know, my friends, we can get so distracted by so many voices in this world, so much chatter and noise. But sometimes we just need to look up to the sky, look up to the clouds, and see the beauty of his creation. I mean, really, when you look at the sky and those beautiful white clouds floating in that crystal blue sky, can you really doubt that God exists, that there is a creator who is bigger and bolder and brighter than all of our troubles and worries, which are so momentary? And so he separated the evening and the morning, and he called the vault the sky. And there was the second day, and God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear. And it was so, and God called the dry ground land. And the gathered waters he called the seas. And God said, this is good. You know, my friends, there's some of us spiritual ones like myself that love to have our heads up in the clouds, but it's such a good thing to keep our feet on the ground as well, our feet firmly planted on the solid ground of Him and His ways and His wisdom and His truth. Oh, my daddy had a little saying. Sometimes he would say, that person is so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Oh, his own girl could be that way sometimes. But you know, my friends, it's a good thing to be grounded, to plant our feet solidly on the earth. It's a good thing to work. It's a good thing to till the soil. It's a good thing to get our hands dirty, to sweat a little bit. It's a good thing to be solid, to be steady. And the more we plant our feet on the ground in good common sense practice, everyday common sense wisdom, the more freedom we have to lift our heads up and enjoy the beauty of the sky. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered into one place, and let the dry ground appear. And it was so. And God called the dry ground land, and he gathered the waters into the seas, and he said, it's good, 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 good. I just want to take a moment for anybody that's listening that lives and works in this area, that's growing food for our community and for our nation, all the farmers out there, and I want to say, I bless you in your relationship to the ground. I bless you as you till, as you plant, as you water. I bless you in that, and I thank you. I give you thanks for the food that you provide for me, for my family, for our community and our nation. And I bless you with the blessing of the Creator, that you would create good, wholesome food for those that you love and for others as well. And then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. And the land produced vegetation and plants bearing seed according to their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. Wow, there's so much in these two or three verses right here. You know, life, my friends, is not about being stagnant. It's not about dying. It's about growing. It's about seeds. It's about tiny, tiny, tiny little seeds in us. Not just seeds in the ground, yes, but in a spiritual sense, in our hearts. And those little seeds can be good seeds or bad seeds. Whatever kind of seeds they are going to produce fruit after its kind. My friends, if we're sowing seeds of strife, those seeds of strife will bear the fruit of strife. My friends, right now we're in that political season in our nation. And let me just tell you, it's important to know what's going on and to be prayerful and mindful, and to speak your voice through your vote and speak it prayerfully before the Lord. But let me just warn you, encourage you, don't feed on the strife that's coming through your television set and across your Facebook pages. Don't feed on the strife. Turn it off. If you allow those seeds of discord, of judgment, of condemnation, of criticism to be planted in your mind and in your emotions, then you will begin to bear that very same fruit in your own life. Let's take a moment and think, what kind of seed do you want to sow today? What kind of seed would God have you sow? And you know, friends, it's not just the kind of seed you sow that's important, but it's the soil that you plant it in. What about the soil of your heart? Is it hard? Is it dry? Is it thirsty? Is it rocky? Maybe it's even trashy. Does it need a careful, tender plowing? Does it need to be soaked in the water of His words? What does the soil of your heart need, my friend? Or have you just neglected it? Is it just a barren, barren place because you just forgot to water the soil of your heart? You know, my friends, I live in Charlotte, and I come to your place every week and run the shop at His Auto and stay with my mom and love on my family. And sometimes when I get back to my home in Charlotte, someone's forgotten to water the flowers, the plants, and they're so dry and so thirsty. But things don't grow in hard, dry ground. How can you water your soul this week, my friends? How can you prepare the soil of your heart for good seed to bear good fruit that will sprout and grow? And what about the fruit that's already growing in your life? Does it smell sweet? Is it refreshing to others that bite in and taste it? When they taste the fruit of your lips, the fruit of your life, is it sweet? Is it refreshing? Is it vibrant? Does it bring them life and vitality and energy? Or does it leave a really sour, sour taste in their mouth? Does it make them even sick to their stomach because it's rotting fruit that hasn't been bothered to be picked by a loving hand? And that was what the Creator was up to on the third day. He was planting some seed, and He was growing some fruit. Oh, friends, I bless you with fruitfulness all week long in this week ahead of you. Fruitfulness, sweet and luscious fruit of the Spirit of love, the fruit of love and joy. Joy! Don't be afraid to be happy, my friends, and don't let people shut down your happiness. Just be fruitful with joy. I bless you with the fruit of patience and perseverance, with the ability to wait on good things, to wait patiently for good things, to not get in a hurry. I bless you with diligence, gentleness, a gentle touch and a gentle word for a friend, for someone who's hurting. I bless you with faithfulness, that you can be faithful this week in the little things. Getting the little things done in life that matter. Not the things that are other people's business, but the things that are your business that God wants you to be faithful in. Oh yes, I bless you with a lot of fruitfulness this week. And then God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night. Lights in the vault of the sky, wow. So after the seeds came, there was these two beautiful lights, the sun and the moon, and they served as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And God said, let the light be in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. He made two great lights. The greater light governed the day, and the lesser light governed the night. And he also made the stars. And he set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and morning of the fourth day. Oh, imagine these two beautiful lights, the sun and the moon. And my friends, the sun, we rotate around the sun. We revolve around the sun. Friends, do you get the double entendre there? Let your life revolve around the sun. Around Jesus. Let your life revolve around his light, his goodness, and his purity. Don't let your life revolve around just church or just family or just your kids or your work. But let your light revolve. Let your life revolve around him. Let it revolve and rotate around him. And I pray that the sun would just have you in his gravity pull, that he would hold on to you this week and draw you close to himself. And my friends, the moon, God made this moon to give us light at night. So we're never fully in the dark. He's always with us. And think about that moon. It doesn't have a light of its own. It only reflects the light of the sun. My friend, this week I pray you are like the moon, that you reflect the light of the sun. It's not your light. It's his light. His light shining in you, on you, through you, in a dark, dark world. Mm-hmm. Wow. Such amazing, miraculous, stunning things that God did in 4 days. Were they 24-hour days? Were they? I don't know. You know, I try not to get hung up on things that aren't laid out explicitly for me in the Word. I just leave the mystery to God. And I listen to what he says. He says in his Word, 1,000 years is as a day, and a day is as 1,000 years. And we know that time has different meaning for him than it does for us, because he's the master of it, not the servant of it. But Lord, today we thank you for this time to meditate on the majesty of your creation. And Lord, fill us up with creativity. from you this week. See you next week.